Chapter 9. The Visit. Charles Darnay awoke to the thought that the day of his death had arrived. Walking to and fro in his cell, the hours passed. 12 o'clock, gone forever. 1 o'clock, gone forever. There is but one more hour now, Darnay thought, and turned to walk again. There was the sound of the key in the lock. Then a man said in a low voice in English, "You go in alone. I will wait out here. Lose no time." The door was quickly opened and closed. There stood Sidney Carton. "What are you doing here?" Darnay asked in surprise. "Are you a prisoner?" "No, I have had the help of one of the keepers here. I come from her, your wife, dear Darnay. I bring you a request from her." "What is it?" "You have no time to ask me why or what it means. I have no time to tell you. You must only do as I ask. Take off those boots you wear and put on mine." Carton quickly pushed Darnay into the cell's only chair. He stood before Darnay with his boots off already. "Carton, there is no escaping from this place. It can never be done. You will only die with me. It is madness." "Did I ask you to escape? When I ask you to go out that door, tell me it is madness then. Change your coat for mine. While you do it, let me take this ribbon from your hair and shake out your hair like mine." Carton forced all these changes upon Darnay. The prisoner was like a young child in his hands. "There is a pen and ink and paper on this table. Can you write?" asked Carton. "Yes." "Write what I say. Quick, friend, quick!" Confused, Darnay sat down at the table. Carton, with his right hand inside his jacket, stood close beside Darnay. "Write exactly as I speak," ordered Carton, and he explained what to write. As he spoke, Carton's hand slowly moved down close to the writer's face. "What is that smell?" Darnay asked as his writing slowed. The prisoner made an effort to focus his attention. He looked up at Carton with clouded eyes. "I don't smell anything. Hurry, hurry!" urged Carton. Darnay turned back to the paper once more. Then his writing trailed off the paper. He tried to stand, but Carton's hand came down over his mouth and nose. For a few seconds, Darnay faintly struggled with the man who had come to lay down his life for him. Within a minute, he was on the ground as if sleeping. Quickly, Carton dressed himself in the prisoner's clothes, pulled back his hair, and tied it with the ribbon the prisoner had worn. Then he softly called, "Enter," and Barsad came in. "You know you must be true to the whole of your bargain," Barsad warned the man before him. "Since 52 people have to die, you must go through with it the whole way." "Take me to the carriage." "You?" said Barsad nervously. "Him, man, with whom I have exchanged. Can you go out by the same gate in which you brought me?" asked Carton. "Of course." "I was weak and faint when you brought me in, and I am fainter now that you take me out. Quick, take him and place him in the carriage I told you would be waiting. Show him to Mr. Lorry. Tell him to remember my words of last night, and his promise, and to drive away." Barsad carried Darnay from the cell, leaving Carton behind. Carton listened for any sound of alarm. There was none. Keys turned, doors closed, the sound of feet passed along distant passages. No cry was raised or hurry made that seemed strange. Carton sat down at the table and waited until the clock struck 2. Then he was called from the cell.
"Follow me, Evremonde."
52 prisoners were then loaded onto a cart and pulled through the streets of Paris. In the cart, a young girl beside Carton began to speak to him. "Citizen Evremonde, we met in La Force. Do you remember?"
"Of course,"
Carton lied in a whisper. "As I told you then, I have done nothing, but if the Republic can gain from my death, I am not afraid to die." Then the girl looked into his face. Doubt came into her eyes. Carton took her small hand in his.
"Are you dying for him?"
she whispered. "And his wife and child.
Hush!" Yes. Oh, will you let me hold your brave hand, stranger?
Yes, my poor sister, to the last, Carton whispered in reply. At the same time, a carriage was passing the city's barrier.
Papers?
The papers were handed out and read.
Alexander Manette, Doctor, French. Which is he?
An old man, crying and seeming half out of his mind, was pointed out.
Apparently the citizen doctor is not in his right mind. The revolution fever must have been too much for him. Many suffer with it. Lucy, his daughter, French. Which is she?
A young woman was pointed out.
Lucy, the wife of Evremond, is it not?
Lucy, her child, English.
This is she?
A child in the carriage was pointed out.
Sidney Carton, lawyer, English. Which is he?
A man asleep in the corner of the carriage was pointed out. Apparently, the English lawyer has fainted. Jarvis Lorry, banker, English. Which is he? The last man in the carriage was pointed out. The bags carried on the roof were searched. Then the carriage was sent on its way. As the carriage traveled, towns became villages, and villages turned into open country. As night fell, the man in the corner started to come back to life. He began to speak. The wind and clouds rushed after the carriage. The moon and the whole wild night followed after them, but no human pursued them.